morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. So glad to be along with you on this wonderful May 7th. Yes, it's the National Day of Prayer. Did you know that? 7:06 in the morning. Our studio line is 503-589-1220. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. And I want to remind you, you can follow us online and listen streaming, in fact, live at kslm.news. I want to welcome you if you're listening online. And follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. If you have information that you think we would like to know about, please send me an email at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM News. Our news headlines today brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Looking at the news today, good news. If you like the Detroit Lake area, one of the parks opening up because it's been closed down because of COVID-19 is opening up. And so that's exciting news. If you want to travel on up to Detroit Lake, that is open, as well as our friend Lindsey Graham downtown Salem. She's continuing to operate her salon downtown Salem, and lots of support, lots of people coming down there to rally around her. And yesterday it was really interesting because 2 days ago when she started, I posted some information and kind of the rally on Facebook. And I said to a few people, in fact, I ran into Joey Gibson, and he's with a prayer movement, and he's kind of been going around Idaho and Washington and Oregon at these different rallies at businesses. And I said, you know, I'm really surprised, Joey, that the Salem police aren't here because of the ordinance that they had passed downtown, that where two or more are gathered more than 10 minutes, you're going to get in trouble. And he's like, oh. And then sure enough, yesterday, if you look at the headlines today in the Statesman Journal, they're talking about the fact that the police showed up yesterday telling them that there's this ordinance because of the emergency of COVID and that they needed to kind of disperse, right? And so the struggle is real and it continues on. And now Lindsey has been given a letter from the state, from city of Salem in regards to her lease. She leases from the city of Salem, and because she's not following the rules right now and the laws of right now, they're trying to get her in violation of the lease. So we'll keep that in our thoughts and our prayers. And speaking of prayer, this is the National Day of Prayer. I don't know if you knew that or not, but this is something very, very important, I think, to our country and our country history. The annual day of observance is held on the first Thursday of May, designated by the United States Congress. When people are asked, turn to God in prayer and meditation. The president is required by law to sign a proclamation each and every year encouraging all Americans to pray on this day. The modern law was formalized and started the observance in 1952, although earlier days of fasting and prayer had been established by the Second Continental Congress from 1775 until 1783 by President John Adams in 1798 to 1799. Thomas Jefferson established a day of prayer and thanksgiving, but this occurred while he served as governor of Virginia. The constitutionality of the National Day of Prayer was unsuccessfully challenged in court by Freedom From Religion Foundation. In their first attempt, it was dismissed unanimously by the federal appellate court in April 2011. So today's the National Day of Prayer. Lots of online celebrations going on. And of course, we can pray. We don't need a special day to pray. We can pray any day, right? But it is fun and there is power in group prayer. And there is a special thing going on tonight, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, the national broadcast. It's going to be online, on Facebook, on YouTube, all of that. Special guests, including folks like, let me see. I'll get that to you exactly who, but people all over. In the scripture for today, pray God's glory across the earth. And so National Day of Prayer, we'll keep that in mind. And in our effort to keep you informed, engaged, empowered, and a part of the process, you know, elections have consequences, and you'll hear me say that a lot. Who we have as our elected officials in our highest offices all the way down to the local school board is important because it affects our day-to-day life. And I don't know if you felt that more than the last you know, 60, 90 days, right, as we are having decisions made for us. And it's really important that we put key people in it. It's really important that we understand who they are. And I'm excited to share with you this time to meet our candidate for our U.S. Senate office in D.C. And our candidate today in the studio with me is Joe Ray Perkins. And Joe Ray, we're so glad to have you here. And looking over your bio, I'm right at your website right now. I can tell that you are passionate about Oregon. Tell me a little bit about your call to run for U.S. Senate. How did that come about?
Well, thank you so much, Stacey Ann. I'm so honored and blessed to be here today. Well, here's the story of a lovely lady. It came about, I was on a business trip in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It was January 2009, the first Thursday in January, happens to be the day that the senators are sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that. I get back to my hotel room after dinner, turn on the TV. It's a reenactment because they don't show you the actual swearing in, so they do the camera op thing, photo op stuff. And I look at the TV, and what an incredible honor to be sworn in. And I start tearing up just like this, a United States Senator, and I audibly hear a whoosh come into my hotel room. It was not the AC, wasn't the heater, and I audibly heard, plan on making a run to go to Washington, D.C., U.S. Congress, 5 to 6 year time frame. I looked up and I said, what? Okay.
And so here you are.
So that was more than 5 to 6 years ago, but here's the crazy thing. I ran for that seat, for this same seat 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same time frame because our timing is not God's, right?
Right.
So when he says something, this has been preparation.
Right.
And so I ran that race, and then I ran twice for Congressional District 4, Linn County, pretty much Linn County South. And now I'm...
Now, here you are.
Here
full
I am again.
Circle.
Full
again.
Circle.
Yes.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, I've had an opportunity to look at your website, and I'm fairly new back to Oregon. It's been a while. It's been about like 30 years since I've been here, and I'm getting familiar with who's serving, who's volunteering, business leaders in the community. You have quite a resume. You have a business background. You've served in the community. Give me some highlights of some of the things you've done over the years that have led to this opportunity to be a leader in the U.S. Senate.
So... our lives are puzzles, and we don't realize sometimes how the pieces fit in. And so my background, I've been a financial planner. Right now I actually have an insurance license, so I can write property and casualty insurance, which I don't have time right now. I'd love to save you money. If you want to save money, call me and I'll send you to one of my colleagues. But this is my focus. This is my calling. And so... but financial services, I used to do investments. I've been a banker, real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all self-employed jobs.
Right.
And my husband's self-employed as a carpet installation contractor. So we've lived our lives pretty much on faith.
Right.
I've had a few jobs where I've had an actual salary, and George has not.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married 42 years, and his whole career that we've been together, he's been self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand what it's like for the everyday Main Street American, Main Street Oregonian, to go through the good, the bad, the ugly. We know what it's like. I volunteered in Albany in many different areas. Albany has the longest running hot air balloon event, going back to the very first event, which it's changed names over the years. And so for 29 years, I was the volunteer crew coordinator. So when out-of-town pilots came into town, my job was to get volunteers to be out at O-Dark 30 and help these pilots get their balloons up and go along with the chase teams. And
that's a great question.
That was a lot
like
of fun.
When you go to a mixer with people and people are trying to guess what great thing ties with somebody, you know, that would be mine is being I've been able to be on the top of Mount Rushmore.
Oh, fun.
So that's kind of my little hidden thing. But that to be a crew to chase the balloon. So this event takes place in Albany. So you've been kind of behind the scenes in some great events promoting Oregon, promoting your area. What other leadership positions, volunteer positions have you held?
So I was the chair for the president for the Albany Visitors Association.
Mm-hmm.
I have been, when I was a realtor, active on the real estate board. I've been active with the Republican Party locally, Linn County, and as chair, and then have served on some committees at the state level for the Oregon Republican Party. Oh my gosh, I have to dig into the archives of my brain, active with my church at Jesus Pursuit Church in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the prayer team in the past, but I've stepped aside from that simply because of my political calling. It's just, I try to keep things semi-separated, and so I just kind of felt that I should step off for a little while. And up until the shutdown, I was on our coffee bar.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always a lot of fun.
Yeah. So when you think about the U.S. Senate and you think about the rich heritage of our country, you know, and our founding fathers and what they did and the sacrifices they made, businessmen, farmers, a variety of people coming together to birth this idea mm-hmm. of America and the freedoms and the liberties and come up with the Bill of Rights and come up with our Constitution. You know, when you think about serving, you talked about being emotional, watching that. You know how severe it is and counting the costs and the sacrifice. Tell me a little bit about the sacrifice of what inspires you about that sacrifice that makes you say, yeah, sign me up. I want to be a part of that.
Sometimes in life, you know there's something you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it. And when I started the journey, I didn't really think about what the sacrifice was going to be, because I remember I had just started my financial planning business. And the former president had just gotten elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I'd work on my 5-year plan, I would hear this little voice, that's not the plan.
Mm.
And I go, yeah, but Lord, I need to make a lot of money, because I know it's expensive to run in political races. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. My goal was to have 5 financial planning offices around the state and have a team of advisors
mm-hmm.
and take care of my clients, and I would go off into the political arena. And every time I would work on that 5-year plan, the Lord would go, that's not the plan.
Mm.
And I go, wow, what is it? And so looking at the sacrifice, I ended up going back to school full-time, getting my degree. I used to make really good money,
mm-hmm.
and I don't do that anymore. And so it's the sacrifice. It's not only financial, because we put money into the campaign. It's time with my husband. It's time
mm-hmm.
with our grandkids
mm-hmm.
and time with our adult children. So there's a huge sacrifice
mm-hmm.
in doing that. And I actually have got 2 books at home, and I start to read books, and I put them down. And I pick them up and read them, signing their lives away
mm-hmm.
and signing their rights away. And
mm-hmm.
it's about our founding fathers and what they went through. They gave it all.
Yes.
They were willing to lay everything on the line. And for some of them, it cost them their children,
mm.
not themselves, but their kids.
Yes.
And there's been so much sacrifice. And I talk to people that have immigrated here from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
They are escaping socialist, communist regimes where they don't have rights, where their religious freedom, they cannot be overt. And I've talked to lots of them. They're going, Joe Ray, Americans don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And they see it. And I'll tell you, here in Oregon, for those people that are feeling a little bit discouraged, there's a huge community in this state, which I asked you about
right.
before we went on air, the Slavic community and the old Russian believers. They're looking at registering upwards of 160,000 people in Oregon.
Pretty incredible. When we get back after this break, Joey, I want to talk a little bit about that and get into more specifics of your campaign, if you'd like.
Okay? All right, excellent.
You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use today and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 1220 AM, 104.3 FM, and online streaming, KSLM.news. I'm Stacey Ann, and today is the National Day of Prayer. Keeping that in mind, keeping all things prayerful. Of course, we know we don't have to have a special day to pray, but it is important. I wanted to mention that on the 17th of May, of course, we know this Sunday is Mother's Day, and we honor all our moms and our grandmoms out there. But in a week from this Sunday, May 17th, at 10 a.m. at the Capitol here in Salem, we're going to have a church service. I know many of us have been going online. We've been watching through Zoom meetings, going to Bible studies, doing what we can do spiritually, but we really have a right to assemble It's a constitutional right to assemble. And I think this will be a very powerful statement. I want to encourage you and your congregations, your friends and family. Maybe it's been a while since you've been to church. Certainly, I know I've never been. Well, I think I went to a prayer rally once in South Dakota at the Capitol with Franklin Graham, but I really haven't been to church at a Capitol before. It sounds kind of like a foundational thing, and I want to encourage you to come 10 a.m. on May 17th. It'll be fun to meet you there. And we're having a fun time this morning in the studio. I'm having the opportunity to get to know Jo Rae Perkins. She's running for U.S. Senate. And, you know, every state of the union has an opportunity to send representation from their state to D.C. And how it works is you get two senators per state. Congress is a little different. It's based by your population. Like in South Dakota, where I came from, we only had 800,000 people, so we only got to send one person to Congress. Here in our state, we get to send, I think it's five, right? Five congressional representation people that represent us there and two senators. So this is important for Oregon. It's important for us to be aware of who's running. Now, Jo Rae, you're here with me today. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to Jo Rae and for her being here today. You have a primary.
Yes.
And how that works is each party has a primary, has the opportunity for a primary and candidates to compete for that position. And the party, the Republicans, vote on that. It's not an open vote. It's for those that are registered Republican, and they have a decision to make. And they have to decide who to vote for. And for me personally, how I do that is I look at who lines up with my values. And one of my values, and our listeners will be aware of this, is that my value is life. And my understanding, Jo Rae, is you have the right to life endorsement here in Oregon.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about the life issue and how getting that endorsement, what that means for you.
So having the Oregon Right to Life Political Action Committee endorsement is huge. They've endorsed me in the past, but I was co-endorsed. So getting the sole endorsement is beyond. This is where I tear up a little bit because it means so much.
Mm-hmm.
Every life is precious. Mm. And we need, they have a motto that everybody deserves an advocate.
Mm.
And the most vulnerable among us. And so to have that endorsement from Oregon Right to Life is absolutely huge. There's a huge pro-life community in this state, and abortions around the country are down. Praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is never to condemn anybody that's had an abortion. Lots of people have gone through it. I've
right.
gone through it.
Mm.
So I was 15 years old pre Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time this has been said publicly
in
a large arena. Just so you guys know, you're the first to hear it and my friends online.
Mm.
But it is what it is, but I'm forgiven. And
yes.
So if you've gone through that,
yes,
you know, and you ask the Lord to forgive you, if you haven't asked Him to forgive you, you're forgiven. And I don't hold condemnation.
That's
at
right.
all against anybody that's done that,
mm-hmm.
that's gone through that. It's tough enough to have to make that decision and then you live with it. And we all know that have gone through that or mm-hmm. have worked with women. So I'm an advocate for adoption.
Mm.
You know, let's make adoption easier. Let's get counseling. Let's help people through this. Life happens, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. So having that endorsement from Oregon Right to Life is absolutely huge.
Well, and supporting life from conception to natural death is what I love
yeah.
about the mission of
yep.
the Right to Life nationally and locally. And here's something that maybe will minister to you. Probably the most honorable place I've ever been in life is walking with women alongside and men who've lost children mm-hmm. to abortion. It's an event that happened. It isn't who you are. And if the listeners out there who's walked through that and they have not been able to talk about it out loud, there is some healing that happens in that place. And it is so true. As far as the East is from the West, when we mm-hmm. come to the Lord, He forgives us.
Amen.
And
yeah.
it is an event. It isn't who you are, but it does influence us.
Yes.
And it does. And it is very what may be told of you at the time when you're thinking about, I have no other choice. Really, a pro-life person is all about the choices. Get all the information to the woman and
mm-hmm.
equip her to make the most
yep.
informed decision. And so having that endorsement is very important, and being an advocate for women and helping them get the information they need.
Yes.
You know, know, so they, and then it's something that happens in their life, but it's not the end of life.
Right.
They can still go on and get schooling and all of those things. So congratulations on getting the endorsement of a right to life. And thank you for standing for all life. I think that's extremely important. What other endorsements and things have you gotten along in your campaign?
So yesterday I received the endorsement of Lars Larson.
Excellent.
And I was, wow, that was huge to me. Oregon Family Council.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know about that one. Somebody sent me the message. They send out, they put their flyers, their guides, in
mm-hmm.
and we get them in churches.
Yes.
Kind of hard to get those right now.
Exactly.
So you can go onto the Oregon Family Council website and they will mail it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to find it on their website. Maybe I just didn't look in the right spot. So if anybody from Oregon Family Council is listening, and if it's not on the website, please put it up.
Mm-hmm.
And Taxpayers Association of Oregon has endorsed me.
Good.
iVoter, iVoter.com,
mm-hmm.
iVote.com. They have me rated as the most conservative of the four of us that are running in the primary.
Okay.
Let's see here. Representative Bill Post, Representative Mike Nierman have endorsed me.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Garlatos, who's running in the 4th Congressional District, has endorsed me. Jack Esp, who's running for, I'll mess up his House District number, but right here in the Salem area,
mm-hmm.
has endorsed me.
Yes.
So you've got
a whole lot
of friends and voters.
Well, and the reality is, and what you are experiencing is people coming alongside saying, I'm mm-hmm. with you in this,
yeah.
I'm not alone. When we get back, we're going to continue the conversation with Joe A. Perkins running for U.S. Senate. PerkinsForUSSenate.vote is her website. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, together on this National Day of Prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in today at 7:35. This National Day of Prayer. Our weather is going to be absolutely gorgeous. Temperatures today, in fact, the next few days going to be in the 80s. And normally on a regular normal campaign cycle, that'd be perfect for going door to door and dropping literature and all of those kinds of things. But because of COVID-19, everything's restricted. And I'm privileged to have Jo Rae Perkins in the studio with me today. She is a candidate in a primary for the U.S. Senate, and she has been endorsed by our local Right to Life in the state of Oregon, and that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think having that is a good thing. Looking at her website right now, you know, she's got a background, business owner, realtor, helping with financial, helped with people with debt, budget analysis, all of those kinds of skills are needed, I believe, when you go up to the Senate. When you look at, Joey, when you look at the crazy budget, the crazy spending, the deficit. And now with COVID-19 and all this money, it seems like it's just kind of growing on trees. And yes, we need to assist people. But it's been very frustrating for me. I've had lots of local business folks in the show in the last couple months since I launched the show talking about how their employees and they're concerned about them and that they've applied for these federal loans or help with their protection of their payroll and all of those things and not getting any of these resources. You know, people locally who have applied for gig workers, people that have salons mm-hmm. that they've applied. It's been a few months. They've not gotten that. And there's some concern about fiscal responsibility, huge concern in it. And we are doing it personally in our homes. We're cutting back. We're doing the right thing. And we would love to see at the federal level some restraint held there. What's your view on that? And when you go up there, what's your intent when it comes to your priorities in the Senate?
Well, the Constitution is really clear what the role of Congress is, both the House and the Senate. And all these federal agencies that we have, in my opinion, the vast majority of them are not constitutional.
Mm.
And it costs money to run all those agencies. And they get bigger. There's no such thing as temporary. They kind of, I think they've reversed the definition when it comes to the government. They just see bigger and bigger. They create a problem that we didn't know existed, and guess what? They have the solution.
Mm.
It's just an amazing thing how that happens. And so that's one of my goals. I went back to school to get my degree,
mm-hmm.
and one of the classes that we took was on budgeting at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
So I took G.W. Bush's 2005 budget. I slashed everything by 10% across
mm-hmm.
the board,
mm-hmm.
except for military, and I didn't touch Social Security and Medicare. And the budget was not only balanced, there was money left over.
Wow.
10%. That is nothing. Absolutely nothing. We may have to do 20 or 30% at this rate. In the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. And so when the voters out there and the listeners out there, when you hear like at the state level and at the federal level, they're going, oh, well, they cut our budget by 10%. No, what they do is they ask for a huge increase in their budgets. And they don't get it. They call that a cut.
Mm.
Well, I was getting $100,000 and I want $120,000 and all you're going to give me is $110,000. You cut my budget by 10%.
Oh, so it's all in how you present the
yes.
message. And that's what's getting called into account even with the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, fear, fear.
Yes.
Fear, fear, fear. And the reality is, we are so afraid of dying, no one's living anymore.
That's
right where we're at right now. And,
yeah.
and it's all in how you package the message.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there's not truth.
No.
There's a lot of smearing the lines, blurring the lines to get support. And we are living off of all of these little media blips and not really digging in. And what I love about the internet, and you and I kind of alluded to this earlier before we got started, that there's information out there,
mm-hmm.
Underlying information and empowering a lot of us. We're not
yes.
having to go to the mainstream media anymore to get our information or facts, especially when we can see it live. And I
right.
loved the presidential
right.
briefings
mm-hmm.
for that very case. I don't have to wait for the headline news to sum up what he said. I can hear him
right.
directly and form my own opinions and
right.
judgments based on what he said. Saying and not, and then when I do hear their repackaged broadcast, I'm like, oh,
that's
not what happened at all.
Yeah.
So you have these priorities. You're going to get over there. You're going to get to D.C. What are you going to do to guard yourself from getting Potomac fever? You know what that is, right? That's like these senators and these representatives that get over there, and they're like, they kind of forget about their state that they come from.
Yeah.
They're like in the D.C.
right,
crowd.
Right,
what
right, right, right. Their brains get sucked out by the
mm-hmm.
D.C. vortex, and one of my friends goes, in their soul.
Yes.
I'm keeping my focus.
Good.
God has put me on a path, and I know who I am, and I know what I'm supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and I can't be bought off.
Right.
You know, those of us that are Christians, you know how you've been bought. You know, we've been bought by Jesus. And so I'm not for sale at
mm-hmm.
all. And I'm there to do a job, and that's to help save our republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with all sincerity. You know, when we start off, and this is, I start tearing up again because it's so important. I've got those 14 grandchildren.
Yes.
And eventually, there'll be great grandbabies, and the listeners out there and the voters, you've got families that you love and you care about, and we want that freedom for everybody. So it's important to have people of integrity. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I've got my blunders. We all do. But to keep the eye on the focus of we have a job to do. We have to stop spoiling everybody. The only type of money I'm going to bring back to Oregon, my goal is to bring it back in the form of saving money that frees up money for you guys to have. That's my goal, is to put money back into your pockets that way instead of giving you something that's going to have a string attached to it. I'd rather give you the freedom to live your life without strings attached.
And that's a great point, because so much of what happens and gets passed, just even like the COVID-19
mm-hmm.
funding, there's some other pork put
yes.
into that pork spending into a bill, like one of the major museums or whatever got
the
a bunch
Kennedy
of,
Center.
Yes, they got a bunch of money.
$25 million.
Here it's helping the American people,
yes.
and then there's all these attachments, and to get it passed, you have to put these pet projects
right.
in a sense, and there's talk of legislation being put in that you have one bill, one focus,
yes.
one vision, get that passed with a fiscal note to
yep.
it. And I think keeping it simple, I think that's the way it needs
yep.
it needs
Absolutely.
To be. And I believe that people want to do something different. Now, Oregon's pretty diverse. And when I was moving back here, of course, I was from I've been living in Northwest Arkansas, which is very conservative, very Christian, right? And moved to Oregon. People were like, what in the world are you thinking? You're moving to Oregon. I said, I'm from Oregon. I love Oregon. It's very blue right now. You know, we have a supermajority in our local House, in our local Senate, and our governor, right? But we have a diversity here in our state, unlike most states, maybe similar to San Francisco or New York, you know, more urban areas. But we have farmers and rural and conservatives. Yep. And then we have this urban center around Portland. And when you're elected to the U.S. Senate, you're representing all of us. And so you have a big mission before you.
Yes.
How do you answer those that don't think through their process is not conservative? How do you answer them in regards to how will you represent me when our views are so different?
We can agree on way more than we disagree on. Mm-hmm. And I love starting off with that, with people that I suspect might not be conservative. And a lot of times I'll say, do you agree with me that you want to love and be loved? You want to be able to put food on the table, a roof over your head. You want to feel safe. And for the most part, you want the government to stay out of your life. Do you agree with me? And they say, yeah. And I've asked that in a mixed audience with Democrats. I go, if anybody disagrees, raise your hand.
Right.
Nobody raises their hand. I've only had one person ever try to disagree with me. He goes, what's it going to cost me? Well, that was the success question. And that question was, will you agree with me that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren should have the same opportunity of success, just like you and I did, to define success, whatever that means to them, whether that is just to go to work, come home, hang out with their family, or build a big company where they can employ a lot of people? Should they have that same opportunity? See, these are, I can't argue with you, questions, except for the one gentleman, what's it going to cost me that he wanted to give everybody a guaranteed income just because?
Right.
And the guy's a little mixed up. But that's how we start off. We've got to let people know we agree on so much more. What we disagree on are things that we've talked about, the life issue. Mm-hmm. We can get through that.
Yes,
they're
pro-life,
and here's how I know they're pro-life and they don't know it, because they don't like to see people get killed by guns.
Right.
They're pro-life and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? So it's like, but you see, you value life, because if you didn't value life, you would never complain when there's a mass shooting, right?
Right.
Sometimes you have to get in their heads at the emotional level.
Yes.
And I'm really good at doing that, because I can think in that way and drop in that logic, and they don't know it's happening. Mm-hmm. But that's how we do it. And it's like, look, you want to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that looks like to you. And I want you to be successful. But don't you want to do it without somebody having a handcuff around you all the time, saying you can be successful, but...
Exactly. And the reality is, the conservative, of what I found in working many, many years, conservative, liberal, the very thing, like you said, they want freedom, right? If they're talking about choice, they want that freedom and liberty as well. They celebrate it. They just look at things differently. Mm-hmm. And what I found to be true is our conservative friends tend to be more open to listening to their, into discussion and listening to their viewpoint and kind of rising above and seeing their perspective. What I don't find so often with my liberal friends, and I love them dearly, is they're so strong in their opinion, they have a hard time raising up a little bit and looking at it from both sides. They're so entrenched. But I love that perspective that you just shared. It really, really is important. Let's focus on the things we can focus on and move forward.
Yep.
Always moving forward. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. In the studio with me today, so glad to meet her, Jo Rae Perkins. She is running for U.S. Senate. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. We'll be back.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is indeed. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. National Day of Prayer today. National Day, the first Yep, the first Thursday of the month of May, and that is designated for prayer. And of course, you and I know we can pray every single day. In fact, several years ago, I started, it was during the last campaign cycle, I started a Facebook page, and I peeked over there the other day, and I thought, I need to get that going again. Pray 11:16, and that's because it was 2016, the campaign, and we were voting in November, 11:16. And what we did is at 11:16 every day, we set our alarms, and we would take that moment to pray no matter where we were in the day. We'd take that moment to pray for our local leaders, our elections, all over the board, even our president. And I thought, you know, it may be time to get that activated again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can change it to, you know, 11:20 and we can do it. But what a great idea to have that concentrated effort to pray and stay tuned in and to be, you know, that corporate prayer. And I think there is power in that, having a national day of prayer. Tell me a little bit about your campaign strategy. And I know we talked a little bit in an earlier segment about your faith and your call to run. Where do you gather your strength from, Joe Ray, to keep doing this? Because it takes a lot of resolve and strength to run a campaign.
It does, and it has shifted so much because there's a lot of adrenaline when you're on the road and you know you're going to meetings and you're going to see people and you're going to shake hands and you get to see people that you haven't seen for a while, people that have become friends, and you don't have that.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting in my office at home, and it's so easy to get distracted when you're working from home. Mm-hmm. For me, it's really easy to get distracted. But I've done really well as far as staying focused. I do some social media stuff. We did a huge mailer. We sent out over 900 letters.
Great.
And that was rather time consuming. It took longer than I thought, but we got through it. And so it's just talking to people, getting the messages out there. We're getting ready to run a bunch of ads in various places and talking to my consulting team. And so it's a whole different thing. The hardest part is having that segment of people who are not on social media.
Right.
Now, I put my phone number in the voter guide, and I did that when I first ran in 2016. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was the only candidate that did that.
Right.
Other candidates have followed suit. And I think that's, you know, imitation is best form of flattery.
Right.
But I think people should be able to reach a candidate and an elected official. And by the way, my phone number will not change, and I will answer the phone as often as I possibly can when I'm even in Senate.
Right.
I plan on doing that. You just have to look at things differently. We're going to get through this. Monetarily, President Trump is working on some stuff in the background. So for those people that are really freaking out about the budget, I know that he is working on some major changes. I believe that we are going back to the gold standard and coming off the petrodollar, and that is huge.
Right.
So we came completely off the gold standard. Speaking of phone calls, somebody's calling me now. They'll just go to voicemail. We went off the gold standard under Nixon. The Federal Reserve Board, it needs to go away. It is not part of the federal government. And that's they've been controlling our monetary values, and that's not right. So it's getting through this, and we're going to get through this COVID-19. I'm a little bit of a rebel. I was in Salem on Saturday. I don't wear a mask. I've had to put one on once because I had an appointment, and I had to have a mask on to go inside. I don't walk in fear. Fear stands for false evidence appearing real.
I say that all the time.
Yeah. So don't be afraid. Your immune system actually gets more compromised when you are in fear and in stress.
Right.
So don't stress over money. God's in charge.
Yes.
If you let him be. And you're going to walk through it. Worst case scenario, you go bankrupt. So what? That's actually biblical.
Yes.
That's what Jubilee is. People don't realize that in the Christian community.
Yes.
It's a reset, and we're going through a reset. So when you hear President Trump talking about these kinds of things, when he says the third quarter is going to be phenomenal, friends, the guy is an absolute genius, whether you like his methodologies or not. Look behind some of the words that he says.
Yes.
He has got a plan. He's at least five steps ahead of everybody else.
Yep.
I'm blown away when I listen to him, when I see what's going on. Do I get frustrated with the shutdowns? Yes. I want you guys to go back to work. I'm such a rebel that I'm the kind of person that says, just like the salon owner in Salem, the one in Texas, open up your businesses.
They can't
arrest everybody, and there is a law that you can stand on called deprivation under color of law.
Yes.
Deprivation under color of law. And it says that anybody working underneath the color of law, as in law enforcement, they cannot stop you from exercising any of your constitutional rights. So the freedom to gather, to peaceably protest, the police actually cannot do anything about it.
Well, and I think that's why our national attorney general, Barr, has come out and said, look, even assembling in churches, and
yes,
I posted something on my personal Facebook page about that, that is probably the most effective way to get everything open,
yes,
up is our restraint on our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in America, we have freedom of religion,
yep,
not freedom from religion,
amen,
freedom of religion,
mm-hmm,
and assembling in our constitutional rights and our amendments are there and guaranteed. And yes, we were they had a threat. There was a state of emergency, but continuing to delay reopening makes people question the motives of Kate Brown. And the other day I was asked, do you have a message for Kate, you know, Governor Brown? I said, yes, open up the state, Kate. We got to get going, get back to work. And so
we need
time.
To. And if you're having a compromised immune system and you're concerned, then stay home. If you're sick, stay home.
Right.
Use the common sense, but we don't do this with the seasonal flu.
Right.
And so it's just common sense. And again, I think people should have the freedom to choose.
Yeah,
this is America.
I said yesterday on the air, you know, one graph that we haven't seen the scientists come up with is the common sense graph,
measuring
across the United States where common sense is and where it isn't. And certainly you will have an awesome opportunity going to the U.S. Senate to represent Oregon and help us make some changes, needed changes in this area that brings a better business climate. And I think that's something that you can continue to wave that banner.
Yeah.
This is not right now looking and doing the investigating coming to this community. Oregon is not necessarily a friendly business, and it's interesting because those that are in control, the supermajority of the state right now, will say, oh, big corporations, blah, 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 but they seem to be very friendly with them. And
mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm,
the business owner, and also very friendly with the unions is my observation, but the business, the local folks, the mom and pops, the people who are making our economy go day after day,
mm-hmm,
after day, they're the ones being punished and penalized. And lots of barriers to being successful. And I'm so thankful that you're taking this step forward and making the sacrifices of your time, treasure, and talent to say, hey, let's do it different in Oregon. How can people get in touch with you? How can they help you in your campaign?
So they can go to the website, PerkinsForUSSenate.vote. And there's a volunteer page that they can sign up there. They can send emails to me through the website. My cell phone number is on the website. It's in the voter guide. My address is there.
Okay.
I'm pretty much a wide open book. And so if they want to help, prayers, oh my gosh, those are number one to me.
Awesome.
And I want to talk about my promises real quick, and it's on the website. I promise my staff and I will read every bill. It must be constitutional or I have to vote no, and I don't care who sponsored it. I will push for single issue bills. If your bridge to nowhere cannot stand on its own merit, maybe it shouldn't be built.
Mm.
It's got to stand on its own merit, and it's got to be a thing that the federal government should be doing. And I want fiscal restraint, and so I will be very picky about not spending money on liberal social issues like defund Planned Parenthood. That should not be federal dollars. You want to fund Planned Parenthood? Out of your own pocket, that's your call.
Oh, that's a great note to wrap up on. Thank you, Joe Ray Perkins, for spending your time this morning. We're so glad to have you. You can find her online, Joe Ray Perkins, U.S. Senate. So glad to have you listening today. Remember, over, under, around, or through, you're an overcomer, my friend. Have a wonderful day.